You are listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp, the last stop before deploying to the front lines in the fight against white genocide. All right, troops, Beefcake is back here after my long hiatus, and I have to say the rumors of my early expiration have been highly exaggerated. I'm still alive and with us here, and I've been away for a while. I had some personal things going on with my family that I was taking care of, as well as I felt the other 19 podcasts are a pretty good introduction to what we're doing at the Swarm already. They can be also used as motivation if you like the way my voice sounds, I suppose. Or sometimes it can be good to sort of refresh things too and have a little refresher course because we forget certain basics sometimes. It even happens to me, and yes, I've even listened to some of my own podcasts to remind myself of some of the things I might have forgotten about too. So, you know, there's a lot of things to keep in mind and learn of this, and so they can be used for a number of different things. Obviously, I have to think about things a little bit before I turn on my recorder here, and, you know, I make mistakes, and I stick my foot in my mouth sometimes too, whether I'm on message boards, you know, hashing it out with the anti-whites, exposing them as the genocidal maniacs they are, all that fun stuff, and I've made mistakes too. And that's one of the reasons we're making this podcast right now is because there's been some changes happening over at the Swarm that I want people to be caught up on quickly, especially for the new folks who are joining us. And we got new people coming in all the time, which is good. We still haven't reached our goal this year of 300, but, you know, we got new people joining all the time, which is good. And I got a feeling as the stuff starts to take off, we're going to see more and more people joining up, and it'll probably accelerate. Anyway, here's the change that's been happening now for a while. It's been going on over at the Swarm, and I probably should have gotten this podcast out earlier, but, you know, we might as well have it up now. And this new change is... we're not going to be putting up direct links to everything that we post in Where Did You Post the Mantra Today? As useful as that was, and it did have its uses, Bob and some of the other guys that are very experienced could go on there and see what you posted and, you know, critique it, see if there were any mistakes made, anything like that, or anything you could have done better, you know, because we're all here about being more effective and using effective tactics to expose the anti-whites agenda at genocide of our race. You know, that's what we're all about showing here, and we got to be effective to do it. And that sometimes means reviewing each other's works and seeing if there's areas where that could be made better. The problem they ran into, though, looking at a lot of these links folks are putting up, was we couldn't find the mantra or any mantra-themed posts there. And what we figured out was going on is that Team Anti-White has literally been monitoring Bob's blog. They've been monitoring him and his site to, you know, see where we're posting the mantra so that they can go up and censor it. And that's what we're running into right now, because there is no proper way to address the mantra, especially not when you're dealing with an experienced bugser. A Swarm member knows what to do and what to say when these guys try using all these ridiculous arguments, and you've heard them all a million times, you know, saying race doesn't exist. We point out genocide's impossible. You're saying genocide's impossible. That's what they're saying when they tell you race doesn't exist. They know exactly who we are when it comes to blaming us for everything else, and when they use justifications for saying why we don't have a right to preserve our own people. You know, when they say we don't have a right to preserve our own people, what they're saying, what they're doing is they're advocating genocide. You know, all these things, we're good at pointing them out. Well, because there's no proper way to address the mantra and mantra thinking, because it's just lifting the veil of lies so people can see the truth. There's no way to address that. There is no way to get gray goo off of you. That's what our message is. As I've said before, our message is gray goo. There's no way to get it off. So all they can try to do is silence it. Silence it through force. And of course, that's the ultimate mistake. You know, you cannot go in and start hitting gray goo with a baseball bat. And again, you know, people will be much more upset when this thing goes viral when they find out about how people tried to censor it. Now, if there's a viral message that's going to take you out, you're going to be in more trouble at the end if you tried censoring the message. I mean, everyone does it. Everyone gets desperate. Everyone gasps for air when they're drowning. So our enemies are going to try to censor us, which is a good sign. It shows that they are getting desperate. That's good. That's good. They can't address it, so all they can try doing is blocking it so that nobody sees it. But again, it creates an even bigger landslide effect at the end when people not only find out about the message, they find out about white genocide, but what else do they find out? That somebody tried preventing them from seeing it. That's the ultimate thing. You know, you turn it into the forbidden fruit and everybody wants it. Well, we got your fruit for you right here, guys. You know, that's where we come into this. That's what we're doing is we're trying to find the most effective ways to get around censorship. And the biggest thing we're not going to do is show the enemy a convenient list of places where we put up the mantra. As great as that was for us to see what each other are posting, we found out that our enemies are using that to censor us. And here's the other thing I wanted to point out on that too, for those of you listening, is that when our enemy is trying to censor us, you got to think we're small, okay? The swarm is not very big. We are not a gigantic team. We are a very small team. We're growing. Yes, we're growing, but we're not huge. I mean, wouldn't our enemies be much more concerned about a website like Stormfront or VDare or any of the other white nationalist or pro-white themed sites? They should be much, much more concerned about that stuff, shouldn't they? I mean, there's more people there. Ah, but what are those people doing? They're sitting there in front of the drawing board, drawing up endless tactics in order to try taking on the enemy. Yeah, they're very busy theorizing about tactics, but they're not actually doing. They're not actually out experimenting with the tactics. They're not actually out finding out whether their verbal tactics are effective or not. They've gotten good at writing the 5-page essays to prove that race exists in order to justify their right to exist. The swarm takes a slightly different approach. Actually, we take a radically different approach. We assume the right to exist and to preserve your own people is innate, and that genocide is wrong, and that the audience can probably figure out genocide is wrong too when you point out that somebody is, supporting white genocide. The other thing too is what we want is we want to actually be able to have a large civil discussion on genocide and on white genocide. The thing is, what our enemies don't want is that because they know the conversation is going to lead towards white people having a right to exist. So naturally, they want to prevent any discussion about white genocide. They don't even want it to be talked about. You know, before we put a total stop to white genocide, we need it to become open for discussion. And what we're pointing out is that anti-whites don't even want it to be discussed. And by the way, when you point out that someone doesn't even want to discuss something, generally the audience is going to see that the person is supporting this program of genocide when they don't think anyone should be allowed to discuss it. That's something you can easily point out. When they say you shouldn't be allowed to say this, what they're really saying is, I don't want you to talk about this because it's happening and I support it. Naturally, you don't want somebody talking about a genocide that you support, and naturally, nobody who supports genocide would ever admit that they're supporting a genocide. Well, they're monitoring Bob's blog, they're monitoring the swarm, and where did you post the mantra today? Because we are effective. Because these memes are starting to show up in places that are actually surprising us. I've mentioned before, Bill O'Reilly's been using anti-white. And he hasn't been using it with anti-white and anti-Semitic. No, he's cut the anti-Semitic off of it. Now we're seeing anti-white. It's starting to show up in other places. We're starting to see Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. There's a lot of non-swarm members using that. You bet there are. They're all over the place. So that's some very good news. Well, because we're effective, in spite of our small size, we've been making progress, not the kind of progress our enemies talk about. We've actually been moving this forward into the public consciousness. They've gotten concerned about us because what we're doing is effective. So if anyone questions how we know whether we're effective or not, well, when your enemy is monitoring something so small, it means it has them scared for some reason. It means that they are concerned about what we've been doing. It means that they actually had to go out of their way to see what we're doing at the swarm in order to try silencing and censoring our message. Well, that must mean they're pretty scared of our message. Otherwise, if we were talking about something that didn't concern them, they wouldn't be trying to censor it. You know, if we were out there sticking our foot in our mouth, using the tactics that have been shown not to work time and time again, if we were doing that, making fools of ourselves, do you think they'd be trying to censor us? So there you have it. They're trying to censor us because they know that we are effective. If we were using tactics that were not effective, they would not be trying to censor us. So if anyone is still sitting on the fence wondering if they should get on this swarm thing, on this mantra thing, on this Bugser thing, all we got to do is point out that our enemies are actively trying to censor our message. But for some reason, they're not that hell-bent on trying to censor a message that just wants to say we don't like black people because of the crimes they commit, and the Jews are going to get you and they control everything, and you know all this stuff that doesn't matter if there's a 3-page essay showing it is true information. They know that it gets dismissed by the audience. They're not worried about anyone looking foolish in front of the audience. And yes, if you say true information that the audience has been trained to dismiss, you're still looking foolish. The same way somebody saying something that was heresy back when people were killed for heresy was probably a foolish thing for them to say because it would, you know, get them killed. So again, you know, there, you have to say the truth in a way where the truth has been forged into a weapon to get past that. And that's what we do. But at the same time, not everything that you say that's true, is going to be effective. And when you say something that's true, that isn't an effective verbal tactic to use, you can look foolish in front of an audience. And our enemy is perfectly fine, with us going out there and making a fool of ourselves and using ineffective tactics. I mean, I'm fine with our enemy using ineffective tactics. The more that your enemy uses ineffective tactics, the better off you are. But when your enemy starts doing something that actually works, you're going to go to any length to try and stop them. Now, the ends do not necessarily justify the means. The means always have consequences. Remember that. The means always have consequences. And so when our enemy is going out there trying to censor our message, they're making an even bigger mistake. The only proper answer to a message like this, the only thing that won't accelerate its growth, is to ignore it. That's the only thing you can actually do, and that's not going to prevent it from eventually getting you. It'll just buy you some time. When you actively go out there and try to censor something, all people need to know about a message is that somebody tried censoring it, and they'll try spreading it far and wide. It's sort of this forbidden fruit thing that I mentioned earlier. When you try to censor something or silence it, you're going to cause it to spread faster. It's the strangest thing. It's just like you tell people you can't have drugs. You got more people using drugs than ever. You got giant drug cartels. You get the idea. We're all familiar with how prohibition works. Well, they're trying to prohibit our message, so they're going to see it showing up at even more spots. You could almost thank them for doing it a favor. I know it's not coming from the right place in their heart. They're intending to try and silence it with the use of censorship. But what ends up happening is when someone gets a message that they find out that somebody tried prevented them from hearing, it's sort of this strange thing. I don't know if it's unique to white people, but I know it certainly exists for white people, and we'll take it to everybody. You know, and that's just part of our nature. You know, you hand us something that we're not supposed to have, and the first thing we got to go do is show our neighbor. Yeah, sort of a strange thing that at least I've noticed. So the censorship attempt that they're taking on us, don't get too discouraged by that, because it actually is something that in the long term is in our favor. Because when people find out that there's a message that someone tried to prevent them from hearing, they want to gobble that thing up more than ever. So it looks to me like our enemy is getting desperate. When they have to just try silencing our message with censorship, they're getting desperate. It makes me wonder what's going on in this world right now that our enemy is getting that desperate. Well, when they start seeing a message starting to go viral that they know could unravel their entire system, well, that makes them desperate. And on top of that, there's a reason our message is tailored for this time on the clock right now. It's that they have an entire system built on lies. It's a giant mountain of lies held up on pillars of bullshit. They have the whole thing built up on these giant pillars of lies, and the lies are starting to get so heavy Actually, how did I say it? Mountain of lies. No, it's pillars made of lies, a mountain of bullshit. I said that backwards a moment ago. See how I stick my foot in my mouth when I get ranting? The pillars got cracks in them. If you can visualize that, a giant mountain of crap, and they're held up on these pillars made of lies. And as the pillars start having cracks in them, the last thing they want to see is a message like ours, basically hurling artillery at those pillars. I mean, they're already starting to crack. You can't hold an anti-white civilization together indefinitely. You need us to maintain the civilization. As our population falls down too fast, you start getting racially aware. It's, Bob has said before we'd make a really powerful minority. Well, yeah, I honestly believe we would, because we'd be racially aware white people, aware that they have a right to exist and aware of white genocide. Well, we'll get whatever we want, which in this case is, the long-term survival of our people. Yeah, that's kind of what we want. Right now, our message is hitting them where it hurts. Very hard at a time when they are at their weakest. And so they are getting desperate. And that's the point I want to drive home. And the reason they're trying to censor us is because, one, we are effective. Two, this is the worst time for them to be getting hit with a message like this. And three, it's effective. Yeah, I can use that first one twice. We're not going to put up every single thing on where did you post the mantra today. However, you can still copy and paste some of the things you may have put up as an example, as of what you've said, how the conversation went, and so we can actually take a look at that and critique that and say anything you could have done differently. But actually linking to where you put it up is not always a good idea. There might be a few places that aren't using the site as a means of censorship, so there might be a few things that you can still put up there that you'll see other guys have been using on the swarm. Go ahead and do that, but if you see it's a safe place to post a link from, however, if not, just to be on the safe side. We want the message to stay up, obviously. So report back what you did to us. You could keep a save a link on your own computer to where you posted it, so that you could, check up on it. Because I would like you to keep track of whether or not, of how they're censoring you, or how long it takes for them to censor a message. But we're not going to make it easy for them by advertising where we put it on bugs, because they are now monitoring that. So, if you don't take home any message from this, or you disagree with me on everything, just remember, if you posted the mantra in 200 places today, I'm very proud of you. That's wonderful. But don't put up all the links on the page, because our enemies are using that as a means to censor us. One other thing I want us to avoid doing is using toxic terminology, and that is the terminology our enemy uses, as well as terminology that our enemies have turned into their ground because it was wrapped up with too much ineffective stuff in the past. There are some very good bugsers that can montrify something that people hadn't added the mantra to. An example of that might be using the phrase the white race. There's a $1 trillion advertising campaign behind the phrase the white race, so people get a knee-jerk reaction and think of whoever used the phrase the white race, as an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews whenever they hear the words the white race. Now, in the context of the mantra, it's like the phrase has been detoxified, because you're pointing out that people have been trained to associate that with, evil racist Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews. It's designed to disarm all that programming that's been paid for to be using it against a phrase like the white race. So we don't want to use the terminology outside of the mantra. Someone put up an example, and I wish I had a link to it to give you guys, but you might have to search for it a while on bugs, which, it might as well be exploring the site, and you're supposed to be reading Bob's back posts anyway, and the comments that come in after them too. And there's a poster who put up a montrified version of race mixing, because toxic terminology, well, race mixing used to be on that list, because so many pro-whites have used the phrase race mixing negatively that a lot of people associate using the words race mixing with, the evil racist Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews. They wanted to use race mixing, and this was considered a toxic piece of terminology. Well, this Bugser took it and montrified it, and he said, anti-whites say that race mixing needs to be used in only white countries and all white countries. They never intend this race mixing in Asian countries or black countries. They're only using this mixing to mix white people out of existence in all white countries and only white countries. It was on those lines. You know, he montrified it. He showed what the intention of the race mixing is, what the result that race mixing is designed to do. We can't just use the word race mixing and assume that they're going to see race mixing as negative unless you montrify it and show that it is, in fact, being used as a means of genocide. And that's the thing. I was going to make a whole podcast to never use toxic terminology until I saw some posters actually manage to use the mantra logic to point out what these things actually mean. But be wary of that. If you're not very experienced and you're not good at mantrifying that, then avoid it. You know, be on the safe side. You can always stick to what's in the mantra. But if you're good and you see someone, especially when someone else comes in and sticks their foot in their mouth and uses a phrase like race mixing, who isn't a Bugser or something like that, well, you can pick it up and say what they're intending to use it for. So for the most part, though, when you hear people using terms that are normally associated with white nationalism, a lot of those terms might be toxic in front of an audience because the audience might dismiss you immediately if you use them. Anything that can get you dismissed, you can't use. So you want to stick to Bugs terminology. There's always a new Bugser that can impress me with something. There's guys out there better at this than I am, and that was one that impressed me. A guy took a piece of toxic terminology, mantrified it, and showed the intent of what race mixing is meant to do. It's only being used on white countries, and it's meant to mix us out of existence. It's a method of genocide. Wow, I was impressed. Quite a bit, in fact. The other stuff we're going to avoid using, though, too, is our enemy's terminology, It's not just toxic terminology that people on our side have used for a long time that our enemies have twisted around so that people, you know, become dismissive when they hear it. It's kind of like wanting to talk a whole lot about Jews and stuff like that in front of an audience that's not, you know, ready for that. That's something they do to our terminology that's been used by pro-whites for a long time, but our enemy has their own terminology too, and we don't use our enemy's terminology. We're not going to call a black person who doesn't like white people a racist. You know, that's not what we're going to do because it just reinforces and spreads around our enemy's terminology. Our terminology is designed to tear their terminology apart, so it's time for us to stop using their terminology. Because whenever you use terminology, you reinforce terminology. And that's an important thing to remember. And I'll say that one more time. Whenever you use terminology, you're reinforcing that terminology. So when you use our enemy's terminology, when you use terms like equality and racism and racist, and it's basically like if you were trying to tear apart terminology like heresy or screaming witch at someone accused of being a witch, the last thing you want to do is start calling people a heretic or a witch. That's what that looks like. When you are using the word racist, if you're going to call somebody an anti-white racist, it's just like someone who's trying to destroy terminology like heresy, calling someone a heretic. you are reinforcing the terminology when you use it. So we don't want to do that. The terminology was designed to be anti-white in the first place, so we are going to stick to our terminology. To Bugs terminology. If someone else decides to piss in the punch bowl and jump into a mantra conversation who's a pro-white and they use something that is toxic terminology, you could mantrify it if you're good enough. Otherwise, you may have to distance yourself from them a little bit and just stick to white genocide if you're not good at mantrifying something that was otherwise toxic, such as the phrase the white race, where it's contained in the mantra. It's designed to detoxify it, to deactivate all that conditioning around it. If you're not good at doing that, stick to our terminology. You can never go wrong sticking to Bugs terminology. Remember, the only cardinal sin is to not bring up genocide and to not call it genocide. We're not displacing white people. We're not moving white people around. The displacement is being used as a means to limit bursts within our group. Flooding every white country with non-whites causes white people to move around as white flight, but it also limits bursts within your group when you're so busy trying to move away from people and planning your families. That's genocide. But the big kicker is still the blending us out of existence. I remember that. It's an attempt to blend us out of existence. That's how the program of genocide works. We can take a huge hit to our population. A huge hit to our population we've recovered from many times throughout history, where white people have had their populations decimated. Plague, war, all these things have severely hurt white populations in the past, and the populations were able to recover within a very short space of time, so long as they still were white people. We could recover from certain things, but what they want to do is they want to turn us into something else. They want to blend us out of existence. They want to mix us with non-whites to the point where there are no more white people being born anymore. That's how their genocide works. So the big thing is what's contained in the mantra. You know, they say there's a race problem. The solution to the race problem is to flood every single white country with non-whites until we all intermarry and interbreed and blend into a new mixed mocha-colored humanity, and then everybody can get along again because they're all equal and the same again. You know, but no one's doing it in every black country, and no one's doing it in every Asian country, but they're doing it in every white country and only white countries. If you were to do it in an Asian country and you were to flood every single Asian country with non-Asians and then tell them that now they're not getting along, the solution to their race problems is for them to all intermarry and interbreed and create a mixed humanity so that they can all get along again, that would be genocide of Asians. And what kind of psycho Asian man wouldn't object to this? And what kind of psycho man would be Asian man would be okay with this? But if I tell the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, they call me an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews and clone Hitler. They say they're anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. There, that's the off of top of my head beefcake-ism version of the mantra, but it still, you know, contains the basics. I'm not good enough yet to remember it word for word. You'll have to forgive me or throw the muddy boot at me. I've stuck my foot in my mouth a few times here, and hopefully I'm not too rusty after not having podcasted for a while. But you guys are doing great work because our enemy is censoring us. We're going to stick to our terminology, and I'll be talking to you guys again if I need to be. All right, platoon, that's it for today's lesson. I want you to go drop the mantra 50 times and report back.